Thank you, thank you. Great. We all should have been singing. That's one of our congregational songs, right? So everybody was out there singing. I know I was. My poor husband is listening to me sing in his ear. Sorry, honey. Okay. All right, so today, Listening from the Heart, this month, our theme is the courage to be kind, and we're exploring how what we bring forward, like from the reading, what we deepen ourselves in and what we bring forward creates the experience of our lives. And we're looking at how to step up in our courage to bring that essence and that presence of kindness, of compassion, of love out into a world where it might be seen as foolish. We might be labeled naive. We might be, you know, all of those ideas in this culture right now that doesn't seem to be honoring and celebrating kindness. I know that that's not really the truth. When we get down to the one-to-one relationships, those deep connections that we have in our lives, kindness rules. Love is the transformative power. So we're looking at how we can be courageous enough to step into that this month. And today, I'm talking about listening from the heart. And what I'm focusing on is how we can start to build bridges rather than deepen the divides, right? That's the, I always like to tell you the end at the beginning just in case something happens in the next 20 minutes. So our goal is to, hopefully 22 minutes, I can't promise. What happens when I get on a roll. So the main idea of this today is that in everything that we do in our life, we want to build the bridge and not deepen the divide. We want to build that bridge to what it is that we know is possible, to that place of deep in our lives, that deep connection that we can have with the people that we're intimately connected to in our circles, our beloveds, our families, our friends, and out even further at this point, I want to build bridges to all those who see life differently. Because it's in that connection and in that ability to respect and be together that we can start to let some of these differences go. That's our intention behind the living room conversations that we've been doing this year. And I realize this is the 10th month. So we've done 5 of them. We've done them every other month. We've just about been doing them for a year. And what I find is that even within this like-minded community, when we sit down and talk about these deep, you know, challenging topics that are up in the world today, that we're all on a spectrum of belief about all of these things. And they've been powerful experiences for us to get to sit with a small group of people and talk about stuff that's tough, right? Because when we can share our opinion about something, not scream it on the internet like a lot of people do, right? Scream at each other, it feels like. But when we can talk about what these concepts are and what's happening, we start to see things differently. And that's the idea of what I'm talking about today. It's the idea of listening from your heart rather than listening from your head. Our goal here is to live what's called wholehearted. I love that concept, that idea. Just breathe that for a second. What's wholehearted to you? I love the idea of it. For me, there's an energetic, but I didn't have a definition of it. Living with our whole heart. Okay, great. Well, my heart works all the time. It's pumping all the blood through my body, right? I know that love is important. It's a transformative thing, so I try to infuse my heart with love. But I was really inspired. I was part of that retreat that our practitioners did with Dr. Sherry this weekend on the Rising Strong process from Brené Brown. And what she talks about is this. Wholehearted living is about engaging in our lives from a place of worthiness. It means cultivating the courage, compassion, and connection to wake up in the morning and think, no matter what gets done and how much is left undone, I'm enough. Breathe that for a sec. You're enough, just as you are. And so if you think that if we start our day from that, and then you go into those challenging relationships, how much are you going to get triggered about stuff that happened 25 years ago? How much are you going to allow somebody else's opinion of you to knock you off your center? It's not going to happen. When we have the intention of living wholeheartedly, it means we're bringing the wholeness of who we are, knowing who we are, willing to share who we are, but also being willing to see the person in front of you in that same way. So our goal is to live from that place of wholeheartedness and listen from our hearts. Now, I'm reminded that part of my inspiration for this talk today was this week I had the opportunity to go and volunteer at my daughter's middle school dance. Oh, it was so fun. So I got to go, and you know, when you're a parent at one of those things, other than for my kid, right, you become the wallpaper, right? Like I was in charge of the game section. There's a game section at the dances. I can't believe it. And actually, surprisingly enough, when I walked into the dance area, they were like playing the same music that they played at my sixth grade dance. And I was like, how is that possible? Well, okay, that's another story for another day. So what happened was that I was sitting there, I was manning the table to get into the game section. And this little group of girls, you know, came up and they were ignoring me. I was like the wallpaper, like I said. And this one girl says to the other, I can't believe he asked me to the dance. And then he's off with his friends. He's not even like paying any attention. What is this? You know, and her girlfriend goes, well, you know what? He's just insensitive. And I was like, it's the way he is with everybody. I can't believe it. Let's go talk about it with Susie or whoever. And so they humph off, and they humph, you know, and they humph off over to the side. And I'm just like, whoa, you know. And 2 minutes later, the boys come up, literally right after them, the boys come up. And this buddy says, weren't you coming with? And he's like, yeah, look at her. She's like off with her friend. She doesn't want to hang out. And he goes like this. Let's go play some games. Okay. So they go and they start throwing the ball. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, that is it. Like, that is the whole thing. It's a miscommunication. It's a misunderstanding, right? And I was like, oh God, it's starting early. And I had to do my processing to get me out of my sixth grade self. You know, but I'm reminded how complicated it can be to navigate relationship in the world. It reminds me of all those movies, you know. I get so frustrated when I watch a movie, and it's like, okay, if you two would just sit down and be honest, none of this would have happened, right? And it's like, well, and then I remind myself, well, then there'd be no movie. Right? And it wouldn't be worth $15 to go to the movies to see it. And so, okay, the story has to go that way. But I get so frustrated when it could be as simple as admitting my heart is hurt. I don't understand what's happening. Can we talk about it? Right? That could take care of 95% of the issues that we have in our lives with people. Being able to be honest with ourselves that we're hurting, that something has transpired that has made our hearts hurt, and having the courage and the willingness to be honest enough with the person to put it out there. Now, I can't promise that the other person's going to have the same reaction and be like, you know what, I'm hurting too. But it's the chance we've got to do it. It's the chance we have to take a deeper step. So what this is it's the difference. It's the difference from living from our heads to our hearts. It's the difference from coming, like Brené Brown says, from that place of wholeness rather than from our brokenness, from where we think we are not right. Our unworthiness, our brokenness, that's false. You are not broken. You are whole. And you deserve to be heard, to be appreciated, and to be loved. And we are all trying to get to that place of knowing that deeply. But the problem is that we're never going to get there by thinking it. We're never going to think ourselves into wholeness. We're never going to think ourselves into a realization of our spiritual divine nature. Because our brains are not wired that way and our minds are not wired that way. When we live in the space of our head and relate to others from that place, from our minds, from our thought processes. This is the place of differences. This is the place of judgment, of comparison. It's a place of limitation and separation. It's a place where the stories that we tell ourselves are driving the bus. And the stories that we're telling ourselves are false because it comes from those hurts and those pains that probably you can't remember when they were implanted within you. But you've been telling them to yourself over and over for so long that that's all that we can see. When we relate to life and to each other from that place of our minds, we move into a place where we hunker down and convince ourselves that we know that we're right. And don't you tell me that I'm not. Because you don't know what happened. Because let me tell you what it's like, Reverend Catherine. You say that no one's a victim of their life, but you don't know what's happened to me. Do you know how many times I've heard that? And you can just feel the pain in that, and the armoring and the hunkering down to our position. It's a place of blame, a place of excuses, and a place of gathering evidence. See, I told you he was a liar. Once a cheater, always a cheater. It's the stories that we tell. And that's the filter that is keeping us from experiencing life fully. Now, the issue with this is that when we operate from our thinking minds, well, that's not really great, but there isn't any broader perspective. We can't get out of our own way to see what possibly could be unfolding. So there's no growth, there's no healing, and there's no evolution, which is the nature of your soul, which is the nature of who you are. Growth, transformation, evolution, that's what we're made for. If we're stagnant, we're dying. If you are stagnant and stuck, then you are not engaging in life to the fullest that you can. And the glory and the love and the joy that we know is possible in life is being blocked from you because we are hunkering down to what we know. And this, the most difficult thing about this is that when we're stuck living that way, we get in the loop of telling the story over and over and over again. And what happens is it's dangerous because we deepen our perspective. And literally, when we think in a certain way, you are laying down a neural pathway in your brain to believe that false story. And every time you go over it, it gets deeper. It gets deeper and it gets deeper. And it gets harder and harder to think outside that box, outside of that rut. It reminded me, when I was putting this together, I had a very clear memory. You know, this is the time of year, as I always mention, I'm a New Englander, and I miss the changing of the weather. I don't really. For about a week, I miss it, and then I'm like, thank God, you know. And so, but I have this very clear memory of being really young, and I had to have been really young, because they threw us in the back of a pickup truck and drove us out into the middle of the woods after a rainstorm. Now, the rain had come, and obviously it had been. It's the closest thing to off-roading I've ever done. I guess it is the only time I've ever been off-roading. In the back of a pickup truck in the late 70s in the woods in New England. And we were driving down this rut that had this path that had been set, right? So it had rained the week before. They had all driven down this road, and then it dried up. So we were in this path, going on this path, and the guy wanted to go and show us over a certain way. And I remember I was the one who said, I want to go over there, you know? And so he was trying to get us out of that rut to go a different way. And it was so deep. So many trucks had gone over it. So many cars had gone through it. They must have been trucks. There's no way a car could have done that. They were so deep in there that when he finally bopped out of it, I caught air in the back of the pickup truck. You know, I still remember what it felt like on my butt when I fell down and on it, you know. And so that's what this reminded me of. It was amazing that this memory popped up out of years when I was thinking of this concept, because that is how hard it will be. You will have to catch air in order to get out of your regular thinking loop when you get stuck in a story from your past. It's physiologically a challenge to do that, but we have to do it. We have to do it. You have to find a way to move out of that story in order to get the perspective to get the gift of it. Because every challenge that's happened in your life, everything that's happened, is there to support you in growing and expanding and evolving. And if that's not happening, you are in that rut. And I'm going to invite you to work the shocks on that truck to bump out of that rut to try and get into a new path. And so we end up only being able to focus on what we believe is true and not seeing what else is happening. So I've got a video for us today. We're going to have some fun with this. Now listen, if you've seen this, I did show it a couple years ago. If you've seen this, don't tell your neighbor. Be kind. Don't rat them out. You got it, Tina?
The monkey business illusion. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the ball.
Don't count out loud.
The correct answer is 16 passes.
How many people got it? Okay, good. You're very smart.
Did you spot the gorilla?
Did you see the gorilla?
For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half missed the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game?
Do you see that? No.
Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events. And that's the monkey business illusion.
The monkey business illusion.
Learn more about this illusion and the original gorilla experiment at theinvisiblegorilla.com.
All right, now that's the updated version of it because we've showed it so many people have seen it that they had to add something else to it, right? So anybody willing to admit that they didn't see the gorilla? Okay, all right. All right, anybody who knew the gorilla didn't see the change of the curtain? Yeah. So, but it's I love this because it's a really great example of when you're convinced of your position, when you only are looking at a situation in your life and you're looking from that dug-in position, you're not going to see, you're going to miss the gorilla, right? You're going to miss the change of the curtain. You're going to miss those periphery, maybe something in the middle, that would change your perspective of what's going on. When we get so focused, that's what happens with our minds. We focus on one thing. We find safety in that. And we get so stuck on it. And so when we think we know what's really going on, we miss the other information. So we're called to take that journey to the heart. There's a Sioux Indian saying that the longest journey you'll make in your life is from your head to your heart. It's the longest journey. So when we can get to the place where we listen from our heart and truly hear what's happening, we find the gifts in the situation for ourselves and for those we're traveling with. The place of the heart is a place of expansiveness. It's of openness. It's of acceptance. It's a place of surrender, of knowing that there's something greater here that we're part of. When we operate from the place of the heart, that what we value, what we think is important, leads the way. Not in the way we think it should be and how everybody should be acting and trying to control our lives. Recovering control addict, yes, I am. But what we're able to do is realize that something greater is coming forward, and when something greater is coming forward out of every experience in life, everybody's got a part to play. Everyone who comes by your path in that whole day has a gift to give you and a part to play. And you've got something to give also. So that's what the true idea of relationship is, when we can commune on a deeper level. When we operate from the heart, it's a place of expansion. We can open and see beyond our limited viewpoints. We can practice compassion and kindness, now first with ourselves and with everybody else. We don't get stuck. We experience healing and deepen our walk with others. What we're doing is we're building bridges and not chasms. I often remind us that relationship is the master's degrees of spiritual work. It's really easy to go sit up on a mountain and meditate and be by yourself and know God. To know the spirit as nature and God and ourselves, you know, that sounds like a little bit like heaven. But the advanced work is what we are doing in this room, which is to bring that spiritual understanding to the day-to-day life that we're living, to the small, nudgy, annoying little things that happen, down to the fact that two people who live together load the dishwasher differently. Has anybody ever had that fight? I have not. I will admit, I have not had that fight. I just redo it. That's what happens. But by engaging in relationship, and I'm not just talking about someone that you live with, I'm not talking about a beloved or a lover or a boyfriend, a wife, a husband, I'm talking about the people that we're traveling with. There are coworkers that are more like family than family. There are people who have, you know, that we have connection to and relationship with, our clients and our bosses and the people, our coworkers. Everybody has someone that they're in relationship with, our neighbors. We are part of this one human family. And the idea here is that we're going to move from a place of separation to a place of understanding that we're interconnected, that there's only one. And so instead of working on digging down into how I am worthy, you know, trying to prove to ourselves that we're worthy, and how that translates is I'm right, right? You know, when we don't have the understanding to realize that it's okay when we make a mistake. It's okay when we put our foot in our mouth. When we're sincere about the intentions of what we're trying to do in our life, then we have a different energetic. We have a different way of relating to people. We have a different gift to give. That's how we relate from our hearts and not from our heads. Now, again, the underlying concept is that we're one with all. And so I have a long Ernest Holmes quote. I'm sorry in advance, but I'm going to do it. Okay. Spiritual treatment should bring into actual manifestation the health and happiness which are mankind's normal and divine heritage. So spiritual treatment is what we call prayer. And what prayer is, it's a communion with God. So a communion with that divine presence that we feel deeply within us, where you know that you're bigger than anything that's going on in this life. You're bigger than this body. You're bigger than this mind. There's a presence, right? Most everybody has had a feeling. They call it the numinous feeling, that there's something beyond. That's what happens in prayer. And what it brings in is an understanding that health and happiness are your normal and divine mode of being. Such healing includes the emancipation of the mind from every form of bondage through a new concept of God, which causes the heart to beat with joy and gladness. You have no limitation. There's nothing holding you back. There's no bondage of what any form that could hold you back from having that happiness and that peace and that joy. And this is a healing power. This healing power is the consciousness of the unity of all life and the spiritual nature of all beings. Man's life is rooted in the universal and the eternal, which life is none other than the life of God. The life of God is you. You are the channel through which God comes into experience in this life. The healing process, insofar as it may be termed a process, is in becoming conscious of this eternal truth. So what this is saying is seek first the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom and all else will be added unto it. When we go to God first to understand our nature, our beingness is something that is connected to that which has created the universe, when we are connected to the powerful creative force of love, when we are connected to that which is greater than anything we can imagine, then everything else falls into place. And again, you can't think yourself there. You can't think it. You can use your thought processes, you could use your understanding, you can use your great intelligence, because let me tell you, everybody in this room, we're really smart people. We love to read, we love to understand, we love to chew on concepts, but you have to marry that with the deep feeling and knowing that that's the truth of your being. That it's not just something that some wise person put down in a book, it's not just something that wise minister of yours said on a Sunday, it's not just that was a joke. You are allowed to laugh at me. I'm fine with that. It's not just that, though. It's when you can integrate it into the way that you are in the world. Again, I always say it, if it's not real and it's not relevant and you can't use it, I'm not interested in it. I don't go off into those really far esoteric concepts that we're just going to chew on. No, I want to give you a gift where you can put it into practice. And you know what? I know that each and every one of us in this room can move from our heads to our hearts this week. I know that we have the ability to find a way of connecting to the God that is alive within you. And when you do that first, then you go and have your relationship talk. Then you go and you ask your question of yourself, of your life, or of the other person, what's going on here? I don't understand it. It's because our intention is from the heart, and it's from the place of love, and that is open and expansive. I was reminded of a story this week of a man who was having a conversation with God, and he said, listen, God, I want to understand the difference between heaven and hell. Can you help me? And so God said, sure. He took him to a place where there were two doors, and he opened one of the doors, and the man stepped in and looked at it. And there was a big round table with people sitting around it and a huge pot of stew in the middle of it, and it smelled so delicious, and it made the man's mouth water. But everybody who was sitting around the table were emaciated and they were malnourished. They were sad and they were crying. And the man walked out and God said, that's hell. Oh, I forgot the part. And they each had these really long spoons in their hands. And they were long enough that they could get stew from the middle, but they were too long to get it to their mouths. That's hell. I forgot the part. I'm trying not to read it, so I'm trying to tell you the story. Okay. So God opened the other door, and he walked in, and it was the same setup, except for the people were joyous, and they were laughing, and they were singing, and they were well-fed, and they had long spoons. And he turned to him, and God said, that's heaven. And he said, well, I don't understand. And he said, well, these people have learned how to feed each other. Let's let that settle for a second. Okay, so the idea of it is, if we realize that we are all one, the whole point is we're here to give, not to get. When we are focused on in the space of the heart, it's not a place of what's in it for me, and how can you fix me, and how can you give to me, and how can I get this? It's a place of giving the gift that you've come to give to the world. That's seeking first the kingdom. Being the channel of the divine light in the world, and all else will be given unto you. When you give, you receive. It might not be to the person that you're giving to, but the universe is a place of balance, and it's a place of givingness. And so in this time, as we move into the harvest time, we harvest in our lives also. It's the time to give from that overflow. To know who we are, to know that we are the presence of love, to know that there is no lack of love, that there is no lack of opportunity and possibility, that all those stories that we tell of ourselves that pull us separate are lies. They're holding us back from our magnificence. And so we're called to give our gifts. We're called to share. And so that's the difference between listening from our minds and our judgments or listening from our hearts, the place of love. And so, are we focused on what we can get, digging into how we are right? Or can we open to realizing what we're willing to give to life and to those whom we travel with, heaven or hell? They both live here and now. And we have the choice as to how we're going to live and what we're going to live in. And so this week, I'm going to encourage you to take that long journey, to take that long journey from your head to your heart. To move through your days from that place of givingness and openness, allowing yourself to be courageous enough to be vulnerable, to shine your light, to speak from that place of your heart, and to know that no matter how it unfolds, no matter what the reaction that you get in the moment, you are being more you than you've ever been before. And that's why you're here. And when you can do that, you're choosing heaven. And that's the goal, to be the whole, perfect, complete, joyous emanation of God that you were meant to be. And that's how I see each and every one of us, and so it is. Let's invite our friends back.